story time with Bryson and Mommy and Victoria.
And Mojo.
And today we're going to read a story called Just a Few Words, Mr. Lincoln, The Story of the Gettysburg Address by Jean Fritz, illustrated by Charles Robinson. He's the one that drew the pictures. Bryson, do you know who Mr. Lincoln is or Abraham Lincoln is?
I think he's a president.
He was a president. Good. And why would I be reading this book to you right now? What did we...
Because yesterday was President's Day.
All right, so let's get started.
Let's get started.
Right when we open up, here is a map of the United States. Right down here is Florida. And it says America during the Civil War. There was a war.
What is this?
That's just, and it tells you north, east, south, and west. That's all that is.
Okay.
So here we've got the ocean. Here we have Florida, and here we have Georgia and the other states that are around it. And all of this area is the South in the Civil War, and all this blue area is the North in the Civil War. And this area was fighting against this area, and they were at war against each other. And that was a long time ago, and that's when Abraham Lincoln was president. During the Civil War, and that's what we're going to read about today. Okay? And here he is at his desk. You see how the picture, when you look at him, he looks like he's from a long time ago, right?
And there's a cat.
Is there a cat? Oh, there is. There's a cat in the window.
Who is our president now?
Right now, our president is Biden. President Lincoln was one busy man. He had two big jobs. He had to free the slaves, and he had to win the war, the Civil War. It had begun in 1861. Americans against Americans, those are the people in the North against the people in the South. Some Southern states had quit the Union, had basically decided, we don't want to be part of the country anymore. They wanted their own country, they said, but Lincoln couldn't let them run off like that. This was the United States, meaning they're united together. Wasn't it? That's the way it had started, and that's the way it should be, united and together. Besides these big jobs, the president had little jobs to do, too. He had to shake hands. Everyone wanted to shake the president's hand, so he shook and shook and shook. Often, his own hand was swollen afterward. What do we notice about Abraham Lincoln? You notice anything about him in comparison to everybody else?
No. Tall?
He's really, really tall, right?
Yeah.
He was very tall.
Yeah. How is he so tall? Was Daddy?
He was, yeah, tall like Daddy. And he had to write letters. From all over the country, people wrote to him. Why didn't he do this? And why hadn't he done that? Some just wanted his autograph. He couldn't take time to write Abraham Lincoln, so he just wrote A. Lincoln, A for Abraham Lincoln. And here's an example of a letter right here. It says, Dear Sir, your request for an autograph, and here it is, yours truly, A. Lincoln.
Who's A. Lincoln?
A. Lincoln is Abraham Lincoln, who was the president a very long time ago. And look at everybody there visiting. People even lined up outside of his office to see him. They buzzed around his door like bees, he said. He had hard luck stories. When he could, the president helped them. He hated to say no. Thank you. But sometimes there was a special knock on his door. Three light taps, tap, 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 and two loud thumps, thump, thump. This wasn't a hard luck story. This was the president's 10-year-old son, Tad. His real name was Thomas, but his nickname was Tad. Why? Well, he was just like a tadpole, his father said, wriggly. Wriggly and moving around all the time. Here's a picture, a real picture, of Abraham Lincoln and his son, Tad. What was his real name?
Who is that? Tad.
His real name was Thomas, but he went by Tad. Why? Why did he go by Tad?
Because he's running around like a tadpole.
He wiggled around like a tadpole, you're right. Tad and his father were best friends. Sometimes they played and roughhoused together before supper. Supper is dinner. Sometimes Tad went with his father to visit the soldiers in the war. He'd wear his own uniform, carry his own sword, and ride his own little gray horse. Sometimes he'd walk with his father to the War Department for the latest news of the war. Here's a picture of Tad in his uniform. Right there. That's a picture of Tad in his uniform. And this is a picture of how Tad drew a mustache on his picture so he would look like a real general.
Let me see. Can I hold it? He actually looks like a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his warrior suit?
That's his, his uniform. That's his war uniform. Often the news at the War Department was bad. For the first 2 years of the war, everything went wrong. The soldiers needed blankets, but the blankets got turned out to be rotten. They needed knapsacks, which is like a backpack. The knapsacks fell apart and wouldn't hold the items that the soldiers needed. Worst of all, the South kept winning the war. Battle after battle, Lincoln said his generals had the slows. They didn't move fast enough or hard enough or soon enough. So Lincoln is trying to keep everybody together, and the South, which Florida was part of the South, was trying to break away from the country. And here's a checklist of all the battles, and it says, battle, first battle of Bull Run. The South the picture of the gun shows that they were winning.
The North won one of them, at least.
So, yeah, the second battle of Bull Run, the South won. The Battle of Antietam. Finally, the North won it. But then the other two, which, let me see, the Battle of Fredericksburg and the Battle of Chancellorsville, the South won both of those. So how many did the South win of those five big, and how many did the North win of the big battles?
One.
So, and that's what they do. They kind of tally up however, you know, winning more battles that kind of determines who's winning, right? So the South is winning more and more battles. So they're doing a pretty good job, and the North was not. Then in July of 1863, the Southern Army moved north because they're gaining way. They're getting all the way up into the north because they keep winning battles and they keep moving north. They were going to whip the Yankees on their own land. Yankees is what they called the Northerners. So they marched into Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania was a northern state. I'll show it to you on the map. It's right here. Now, Pennsylvania is where Grandma is from.
Grandma?
Yeah, she was born there in Pennsylvania, but a long time after this war happened.
Oh.
Okay, so near the little town of Gettysburg, the two armies met and fought. For 3 days, cannons boomed, swords flashed, horses reared and screamed. It was a terrible battle. 20,000 Southern soldiers were killed or wounded. 23,000 Northern ones. So, Bryson, who lost more people?
I don't know.
So, if 20,000 or 20 Southerners were wounded or killed, and 23,000 or 23 Northern ones, which one had more that were injured or killed?
Northern,
yeah, because 23 is more than 20. The North won. Lincoln was thankful. So many dead boys. Everybody was sad. Not one of them ready to die, and the war wasn't even over. My heart is like lead, he said. People decided to build a special cemetery in Gettysburg just for the fallen soldiers. And they would hold a special service to honor them. They set the date for October 23rd, and they asked Edward Everett to speak. He was the grandest speaker in the country. He looked grand. He rolled out grand words in a grand way. But Mr. Everett needed more time to put his grand words together, so the date was changed to November 19th. Then the people thought, the president should speak too. Not long, just a few words, they said. Here's a picture of Edward Everett, the great speaker.
Wait, let me see the picture.
Oh. President Lincoln did have something to say, but he'd keep his speech short. He said, short, short, short. He wanted to talk about why they were fighting, not just to win, not just to free the slaves, but to keep America the way George Washington had meant it to be, a country run by the people, for the people, all the people, united together, with no hard feelings when the war was over. He wanted his speech to be just right, but of course, President Lincoln was one busy man. Still, by November 15th, his speech was almost done. He'd even read it aloud to see how the words sounded. All it needed was another lick, he said. Another lick is like another workaround. He just needed to work a little on it a little bit longer. Tad wasn't around while his father was writing. He was in bed, sick. The doctor didn't know what was wrong with him. That was not a good sign, Mrs. Lincoln said. She was beside herself with worry. The president was too. He just hoped Tad would be better before he went to Gettysburg.
He's very sick.
He's very sick. See, he's very sick. Aww. On November 18th, Lincoln had to leave, and Tad was not better. His fever was still high. Of course, Tad had to take some medicine, but he didn't like it. Sometimes only his father could get him to take it. Sounds familiar, Bryson? A little bit, right? And his father was leaving. It was hard for Lincoln to say goodbye, but he had to. He had to go say the speech at Gettysburg. Lincoln went to Gettysburg in a special four-car train. Trains were brand new back then. So to ride in a big train was big news, big deal. It was decorated with red, white, and blue streamers, because those are the colors of our country. And it was filled with important people. All of them wanted to talk with the president. So the president talked all the way to Gettysburg. The story is told that Lincoln wrote his speech on the train. Just scratched it out on the back of an old envelope. That is not true. His speech was in his pocket. All written except for a last lick. A last little sentence. A last little statement. In Gettysburg, everyone wanted to honor the president. That evening, a group of singers sang to him and then asked for a speech. But the president told them he had nothing to say. If he tried, he might say something foolish. The singers didn't think much of that. They just hoped the president would do better the next day when he had his real Gettysburg speech, right? Gettysburg was crowded with visitors, important visitors. In the house where Lincoln was staying, there were not even enough beds to go around. Mr. Everett was told he might have to share his bed with the governor. But at the last minute, another bed was found for the governor. Look at all the people sharing beds together there. There were so many people there. Mr. Everett's daughter was not so lucky. She had to share her bed with two other ladies. It was too much for the bed. It broke down in the middle of the night, and the three ladies crashed to the floor.
No, that's the wrong lady.
You're right. President Lincoln, of course, had a room to himself, but before going to bed, he went over his speech. He gave it a last lick. He kept thinking about Tad. How was he? Had his fever gone down? Luckily, a telegram had arrived from Mrs. Lincoln. A telegram. Back then, they didn't have phones. They didn't do texting. They didn't call, really. And so they would do telegrams, which was like a little note that they would send very quickly through a little machine. And so they would come and you would get a little note and say, oh, okay, here's some information from home. And that's how they would get information, was through a telegram. Luckily, a telegram arrived for Mrs. Lincoln. Tad was much better, she said. That was just what Lincoln wanted to hear. He had never read sweeter sounding words. He was very happy. November 19th was a bright, sunny day. After 10 o'clock in the morning, Lincoln went outside. A horse was waiting for him, a short horse. And Lincoln was tall, 6'4" with long legs. People laughed about how long the president's legs were, but they seemed about right to him, he said. Just long enough to reach the ground. But that day, with a horse between his legs, they still almost reached the ground. For the big parade to the cemetery, the president was given a bigger horse. A big, proud-looking chestnut horse. No one could miss Lincoln now, because if they have a big horse, and he's really tall and on top of the big horse, everybody's going to be able to see him, right? There he is, people said. See? In his high stovepipe hat. See his hat?
Yeah.
That was called a stovepipe hat, because it looked like a stovepipe. It was really tall, and he was known for wearing that big, tall hat. First came the band, then soldiers, then President Lincoln. Yep, just like that. Then President Lincoln, some state governors, and other important people, but not Mr. Everett. He had gone to see the battlefield, and he wasn't back. Mr. Everett didn't come back, and they don't know where he is for his speech. At the cemetery, the president climbed on the platform. A small sofa was there for him, but out in the front, the people had to stand. 15,000 to 20,000 of them, that's a lot, crowding close, jostling each other, fathers holding children on their shoulders, all trying to see the president. Back then, they didn't have TVs, so you couldn't just turn the TV on and look at the president. But if you happened to be in the area, you could go and see the president if he was here giving a speech. But you didn't know what the president even looked like because you didn't have a TV. You couldn't see the president. He had to go around the country to see you. Mr. Everett was to speak first, but he still had not come. So everyone waited. The band played and the people stood. And the president sat looking out at the fields, at all the fresh graves and wooden markers. Thousands of wooden markers. What are those wooden markers for, do you think?
Dead.
All of the dead soldiers.
Yep.
And under every marker was the body of a fallen soldier. So all the fallen soldiers who had died in the Battle of Gettysburg were buried underneath each of those crosses.
Oh.
At last, Mr. Everett came. Oh, of course he was worth waiting for. Just listen to that voice, people said, making a grand story of the Battle of Gettysburg, placing it right beside the great battles of history. But he didn't stop. For one solid hour, he talked. It's like a half a movie. People expected Mr. Everett to talk a long time. They loved what he said. Still, they were standing. They were tired and hungry. For another hour, Mr. Everett talked. So he talked for 2 hours, which is a whole long movie. Then a glee club sang. Glee club is like a choir. Then at last, President Lincoln, the President of the United States.
Is he bad?
No, he's good. President Lincoln stood, put on a pair of steel-rimmed spectacles or eyeglasses, and pulled a single sheet of paper from his pocket. Lincoln talked as if he were talking to every single person in the country, telling them not to give up on the idea of one country. He talked as if he were talking to George Washington, too. Who's George Washington, Bryson?
The first president.
The first president.
That's why he's on the $1 bill.
You are right. Telling him that they wouldn't let him down. And as if he were talking to the fallen soldiers, telling them that they had not died for nothing. It was a short speech, and it was over. 10 sentences, 271 words, and Lincoln sat down. People were so excited to hear the president. They had hardly begun to listen to what he had said. They were still noticing his accent. He had a Kentucky accent, which is like a southern accent, after all this time. But suddenly there he was, sitting down. He was finished. It took longer to boil an egg. They clapped, but perhaps they were slow about it. In any case, Lincoln supposed his speech had fizzled. "It fell like a wet blanket," he said. He was sure that no one would remember that, what was said here. He even said so in his speech. All afternoon, Lincoln shook hands with the people of Gettysburg. When he got on the train that evening, he was tired. He put his long legs up on the train seat and he closed his eyes. He had no idea that his speech would be printed in newspapers all over the country and that people would read it again and again and praise it. Even Mr. Everett wrote to Lincoln. "The president had said more in 2 minutes," Mr. declared, "than he had said in 2 hours. Americans agreed. They would remember Lincoln's words and go on remembering. It was one of the greatest speeches in American history. But by the time Lincoln heard what was being said, he was doing other things. After all, he was one busy man. What was he doing by the time he heard that it was so popular?
Working. Hugging his son.
Hugging his son. He'd gotten back home to see his son, and he was hugging his son. And then here is the speech that Lincoln gave at Gettysburg. You're not going to understand it, but I'll read it anyways, okay? 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth." All right. Thanks for joining us.